The views expressed by the host and guests of this program are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views and positions of the Truth Broadcasting Corporation. Welcome to Faith Works Live. Call 515-727-5842 and join the conversation. Now, here's your host, Rebecca Haney.
It's a joy to be with you today. It's a Tuesday that feels like Monday, but it is in fact Tuesday. Our calendar and our society tells us this. So I have been rejoicing in the day the Lord has made, in particular because we get to talk to one of our favorite people, Maggie DeWitty from Iowans for Life, on this Life Tuesday. And there's a whole lot of life news, a lot of very exciting stuff, and I would say some very positive developments, a lot of momentum. And we talked about the Texas law and the Supreme Court's reaction to the Texas law, and then a lot of people's reaction to the reaction. So we're going to break all of that down today and then find out what it means for us here in the state of Iowa and how we might be able to move forward. What does this mean for the life movement going forward, and what kind of progress could we be making, and what, you know, how might this affect our strategies moving forward? So very, very exciting stuff this Life Tuesday. I'm glad you're here for it. As always, you're welcome to call in and participate too. 515-727-5842, 515-727-5842, or on our Facebook page, and I promise I'll do a good job of monitoring that today. Our Faith Works Live page on Facebook. So just check in with us there. Let us know that you're listening and what's on your mind this Life Tuesday. Our show is, as always, wonderfully produced by Ron Carlson. Hi, Ron.
How's it going, eh?
It's pretty good. I'm glad to see you.
Just fine and dandy.
I'm glad you're doing well, presumably. That's wonderful. And as always, I'm just, you know, glad, very glad that you're here. You know, not only because if you weren't, I would be talking by myself in a padded room.
Gosh, Olives.
Good to see you, my friend. As I mentioned, the wonderful Maggie DeWitty is here from Iowans for Life. Hi, Maggie.
Hello.
And I know you're super busy, as always. So thank you for coming on into the studio.
You bet.
It's always good to see you face to face. And we have so much going on. Iowans for Life is planning so much. Because y'all are the movers and shakers. We know that. So a lot of big events coming up. I think probably on everybody's mind as they're watching Texas and the Texas law, which I'm not sure if there's a better way to say it other than, I mean, it was called a heartbeat law. Its official title was like SB8 yes. In Texas, which is not catchy at all.
No.
But we know the Texas law that prevented most abortions. And actually, it gives, if I'm correct, it gives the average citizen the right to take abortionists to court, or people who are responsible for or accessories to procuring abortions to court. And that was the way they chose to handle this. Mm-hmm. So it's a bit of a different approach. And the pro-abortion side was not happy about this at all. They took it to the Supreme Court. They appealed, and the Supreme Court allowed the law to go into effect, which I did not see that coming. I did not expect that. But the reaction, and I think most people have heard about this by now over the last week, and the reaction was pretty severe on the pro-abortion side. I think people were pretty shocked. But on the pro-life side, there was much, much celebration, and I think rightly so. And so I think the question that we'll unpack over the course of the hour is, what does this mean and where do we go from here? So when you are you know, learning about this, when you're following this, obviously this was people knew that this was coming down the pike. It was just set to go into effect on September 1st. So as you're following this and you saw in particular the Supreme Court's response, what were you thinking?
Well, I was shocked, honestly. I mean, I guess it's so hard in the pro-life movement because it seems like we get only so far,
mm-hmm.
and then repeatedly we get beaten back by the courts. And so in a lot of ways, I just assumed it would go the same way that it went here in Iowa. Because as you all recall, Iowa was the first in the nation to pass a heartbeat bill in mm-hmm. 2018. First in the nation. We led the path for the rest of the country to bring forward this heartbeat legislation. And, you know, that didn't come to fruition because the courts stepped in. And so I think everybody was wrapping their minds around this really happened. Like, this actually got enacted. The courts didn't step in and do an injunction to keep it from going into law. Mm-hmm. And there's this glimmer of all of us thinking, wow, are we really getting to a point where we can actually think of an abortion-free society? I mean, I shivers, you know.
That's a marvelous thought.
I just can't.
That's the goal. That's been the dream, the hope.
That's been, yeah. And just to think that we may have made one step closer to that. This Texas law is similar in some ways to what we passed in Iowa, but different in other ways. Similar in that basically what it says is that when a fetal heartbeat can be detected, which can be anywhere from 5 to 8 weeks typically, then you are not able to have an abortion.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was similar to what we did here in Iowa. You know, what was different is the enforcement mechanism. And as you stated earlier, that's the novel piece of this bill and this law, is that it gives the right to private citizens to file a civil lawsuit against anybody who performs or refers, pays for, is involved in any part of the abortion process.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it does not, this excludes women, because that was the first thing that people brought up, is, oh, we're going to criminalize women, or they're going to be involved in lawsuits and right. That sort of thing.
So this is not sending women to jail because they're seeking an abortion.
Exactly. This has to deal with those who are participating in the abortion act, whether through financial means, whether through referring, however it is. If an abortion is obtained, there will be penalties up to a minimum of $10,000. So pretty severe penalty that's in place. And so that's what I think all of us are looking at now, is this whole novel concept of the enforcement mechanism through private citizens.
Mm-hmm. Well, and this is something that I think they didn't really have an answer for on the other side. And this is something that President Biden, for example, has chosen to speak out about. He says that this is something that is concerning to him. But then again, he also says he doesn't believe life begins at conception anymore. So I'm not sure.
I'm not sure what's going on in his world.
But they have taken notice of this. And I guess the latest line is something like, there will be a whole government response, to the Supreme Court's allowance of this law. Basically, the state of Texas, according to most understandings of the 10th Amendment, has the right to regulate. This is within state jurisdiction. And, you know, while we've addressed the issue federally, the most of the movements in the pro-life fight, as well as the pro-abortion side, have taken place on a state-by-state basis. We work here in the state of Iowa. Texas works, you know, in Texas, and New York, California are doing their own weird things. But now the federal government is talking about federal responses there, too, which is interesting to me, because for so long it's been considered a state by state kind of thing. So now they're going to move it, it seems. There's a push to move it into the federal realm. And I wonder if that might not be exactly the place that we are going to take it next.
Right.
Well, not a legal scholar or expert. I just find that movement very interesting. Like, okay, if we want to take this into Washington, D.C., let's do this.
Right. Well, they didn't get their way. It didn't go the way they wanted. So now they're pivoting to let's look at this federally. Let's pack the courts. Let's, you know, whatever we have to do. to rectify this situation so that we can, you know, continue to kill our unborn children.
Right. Because this is of prime importance. Clearly, it's of prime importance to them. And I think that's one of the things that's been revealed over the last week. When you look at the blatant screeds that we have seen online from people that say, oh, this is the number one issue and this has grabbed everybody's focus. And I agree that life is a pretty big deal. But what they're saying is the right to kill our children is of prime importance, and that we can't do any, that, you know, it's worse for women in Texas than in Afghanistan right now because, you know, women can't kill their children.
Right.
I mean, my goodness, it reveals the heart.
It
reveals the hearts as to where we are. So as you're watching this, what are some of your thoughts, especially as might apply here in our state?
Well, definitely. I mean, one of the first things that I did and in conjunction with the Coalition of Pro-Life Leaders is we sent a letter to all of our legislators with a copy of the bill saying, here it is. We're going to be watching this situation closely. We want to work with you. We want to make sure that you've got all the information that you need. But this happened and it went the way that we want it to. So let's not reinvent the wheel. Let's look at what they did and see how we can implement something like that here in our state as well, as we do have the heartbeat bill still on the books. And I think that's even I sometimes get confused by that, but it's still on the books. So if and when we can change the situation with this so-called fundamental right to abortion, we can look at and say, okay, now that we've changed that, now can we put this law back into place? Because it was passed and signed into law by Governor Reynolds, just struck down by the courts.
Right. And that might be something that we can unpack just a little bit as we head into the next segment, because that is, I think, confusing for a lot of people, especially the language that we use or the way that we're used to thinking about it. So often, as you've mentioned, this kind of tends to go the other way, where you might have a good life protection law or a life definition law or abortion restriction law, and then it gets challenged. Planned Parenthood or the pro-abortion side tends to take it to court, and the courts tend to side with them. We're really not used to it going the other way.
That's exactly right.
Praise the Lord that this is going to happen. But so when we look at something like that and we say, all right, we actually do have a law that could work in a very similar way, but courts didn't agree with it. So then where do we go from here? Does that mean we need to take another law, or does that mean we need to, you know, are there ways to amend the laws that we have, or does that just take the lawmakers stepping up and saying with one voice, no, we reaffirm the laws that are on the books, and the court doesn't have the right to just say, hey, this isn't law anymore, and then maybe look at the legal points that they brought up and say, no, there isn't a constitutional right to an abortion in Iowa, nowhere in the state constitution. Right. So, yeah, let's have a right understanding of this.
Right.
So let's talk about that with Maggie DeWitty from Iowans for Life when we return. You're welcome to call in with your thoughts or questions, 515-727-5842.
Welcome to Faith Works Live. Call 515-727-5842 and join the conversation. Now, here's your host, Rebecca Haney.
If you care about life, you're listening to the show, I'm going to bet that you do. I think the answer to a lot of our need here in Iowa involves, well, God's people stepping up and the church being the church, but also partnering with strong pro-life ministries, clinics that provide women real care and real hope, real support. And that would include our friends at Agape Pregnancy Resource Center. Every single day, right in the heart of our city, they are giving women in crisis hope and help, from free pregnancy tests, STD testing, ultrasounds, and even more practical support. They have a hygiene pantry where women can get shampoo and toothpaste and things like that if they need it. They, when the time comes, they have baby formula and baby clothes and just all kinds of needs, because they see her. and they say, you are valuable, we love you, and Jesus loves you, and you deserve better than abortion, and so does your baby. They are well worth supporting. AgapeDSM.com is their website. Click on the Get Involved tab to find out more about how not only to pray for them and support them, but maybe your skills are what they need on their staff. They have a couple of openings on their staff as well. So go to AgapeDSM.com and click on Get Involved. This is Life Tuesday. Rebecca is my name. Very glad you're with us today. Tim Overland from Personhood, Iowa, our regular co-host, is in the house. Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Tim.
Sorry I'm late.
I didn't just ignore you for the last 20 minutes.
Right. I promise.
Sometimes. You're welcome.
I know. Thank you. No, I knew Maggie would hold down the fort.
Oh, yeah. Well, and Maggie DeWitty is one of our absolute favorites from Iowans for Life. And she's been helping us break down not only the unique particulars of the Texas abortion law, restriction law. It's, again, needs a catchier name. but what everybody's been watching this and reacting to this. And the question is now, where do we go from here? And as you mentioned, here in Iowa, we have a similar law in Iowa law right now. It was just struck down, quote unquote, by the courts. So what are some of the ways that we can respond in light of what the Supreme Court has just said and what we think it might say, for example? But here in our state, we might have some unique options.
Well, right. So we, in 2018, we passed the heartbeat bill. And so the similar part of the Texas and Iowa is the same, is that when there's a heartbeat, you can't have an abortion, or when the heartbeat can be detected. What was different is our law in Iowa, the enforcement was a criminal, whereas in Texas, it's this, you know, this civil.
Civil enforcement.
They
civil
should call enforcement. It the Boba Fett law. It's like a bounty, right? It's like bounty hunters.
Right, yeah.
That'll work. That will make sense and be hilarious for about 15% of the population.
Oh, more people know who Boba Fett is.
Okay. All right.
Especially if they listen to the show.
That's true. 35%.
So really, you've got two, you know, potentially we could copy Texas law and put it on the books here in Iowa. Mm-hmm. You know, presumably if our legislators want to move forward with that, we could have the same thing. So if and when we're able to get rid of this fundamental right, then we would have the heartbeat that would have criminal penalties and a heartbeat which would have civil penalties. But like I said, we did send an initial correspondence to our legislators, making them aware, if they weren't already, that this was on the books in Texas. We really need to look at this and how it might apply here in Iowa. Because just as a recap, you know, in 2017, we had our 20-week and 72-hour waiting period. And that 72-hour waiting period ruling is what got us in the mess that we're in and the need for the constitutional amendment. Because it was in that ruling that they said not only is 72-hour waiting period to have an abortion an undue burden for women and unconstitutional, but we also have this fundamental right to abortion in our Constitution. And that's actually what Judge Huper in the Polk County District Court used to strike down our heartbeat law.
So
was
we
that
had
ruling.
So we had a judge's ruling on one law, the 72-hour waiting period law, that included the phrase, there is a fundamental right to an abortion. And then that ruling was referred to as precedent on when it came to the state ruling on the later enacted heartbeat law.
That's exactly right.
Okay.
And so we do have the 20-week bill, a law still on the books. So right now in Iowa, you cannot have an abortion.
That's still the law.
That's still the law. It was the 72-hour waiting period part of that law that ended up going through the whole litigation process.
Okay.
Iowa Supreme Court, fundamental right, strike down heartbeat. And so now we're at how we rectify that. And so last legislative session, we were able to pass the constitutional amendment. And so we got step one of multi-steps that need to happen. Now, next legislative session is actually the second part of the General Assembly. So we can't pass it next legislative session. It's got to be the following one. So in 2023.
Okay.
And then when we get it passed then, and of course there's an election in there. Then
oh, yeah,
we
those
have,
do come around, yeah, don't they?
Then we have to put it before a vote of the people. And so we're really a long ways. And then as we look at what happened in Texas, and then also the Mississippi case that has a potential to challenge Roe. Mm-hmm. And as you were saying, what happens if Roe falls is abortion law goes back to individual states.
Yes.
And so while we can continue to look at this Texas heartbeat bill and see if we can't get it here in Iowa, we still have to fix this fundamental right piece. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, when Roe falls, we're in trouble here because we still would have this fundamental right, and we have to do away with that in order to be able to pass meaningful safeguards and restrictions against abortion in our state.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've argued that it would make Iowa the most pro-abortion state in the country. If you have a constitutionally protected fundamental right to something, there's no infringing on that. Theoretically.
That's exactly right. I mean, we would become or could become the mecca for abortions in the country because Tim's right. You can't restrict it. And really, I've said it's only a matter of time before really even our 20-week could be thrown down.
That's if you believe they follow it, Maggie.
Well, that's if you believe they follow it. So true. But officially, it just would take a lawsuit for them to say, you can't restrict abortion. Mm-hmm. We have a fundamental right. Mm-hmm. And that would eliminate our most meaningful restriction we have here in Iowa right now.
And so the response to that is to clarify once and for all in the Iowa State Constitution via the amendment process that there is no constitutional or fundamental right to an abortion in the state of Iowa, period, point blank.
And
also, we don't pay for them.
Yes. And taxpayers should not have to pay for them.
Okay. But yep. That means we're a couple of years away from that. At the best of best case scenario, we're a few years away from that.
Right. So in the meantime, you know, we're going to monitor this law in Texas, see how it plays out. We're going to look at some other things this next legislative session, things that weren't able to get accomplished last session, like, you know, beefing up our abortion reporting system. That was a bill that we looked at, among many other things, abortion reversal pill. Mm-hmm. Some of those things will be looked at as well.
All right, let's talk about that a little bit. And we'd love to hear, as well as some great pro-life events and ways that people can get involved, coming up with Maggie DeWitty from Iowans for Life. Let us know your thoughts, your questions, concerns, your encouragement. 515-727-5842. Your works live.
Welcome to Faith Works Live. Call 515-727-5842 and join the conversation. Now, here's your host, Rebecca Haney.
You know, we love people on this show. We seek to honor God, love his people, and that means we cook them tasty food. And the tastiest food I know of, and we just had a lovely grill out yesterday. We used our extra day of rest to grill up some Animus beef, some burgers and steak over at our house. And man, it is just, it's delicious. It's simple. It's farm fresh. It's grass fed, farm raised butcher beef. But you don't just have to take my word for it. You can taste and see how good it is for yourself. AnimusBeef.com is a good place to start. You can find out more about how they do things there, about their different offers they have. Like, you can buy half a cow if you really want to. And with my family, we kind of need to. But depending on your freezer space, you know, you may need something a little bit smaller, a little bit more navigable. They will help you get what you need at AnimusBeef.com. Try it for yourself. It's great nutrition, great value, and you're supporting great, great people. They're just excellent at what they do. And it's AnimusBeef.com. That's AnimusBeef.com.
Reminds me, I've got to get some of that for next week because we're going to be grilling out and have some people over. So
all the cool kids are doing it. You should do it.
Yeah.
Too. Oh, I didn't get my invite. Did it get lost in the mail?
It's coming. Snail mail.
Tim just can't
Telegraph.
Catch a break.
I know. Anytime Animus is on, I'm just going to I mean, I'm just going to sit quietly and think about how good the food is.
It's very, very good.
Put my foot in my mouth.
It's incredible. They also have like those snack sticks as well. Like beef jerky, but way better. Mm-hmm. So those are great if you're doing, you know, just need a little bit of energy. You need snacks, lunch break throughout the day, things like that, post-workout, all good stuff.
I love smoking pot roast, basically chuck roasts. So, Mary Lynn, that's my order. Two, please.
Make it happen. And she will.
I'll have a text here in a minute, I'm sure.
AutonomousBeef.com. Now, we've got one of our favorite, absolute favorite people here, Maggie DeWitty from Iowans for Life. She's always basically on that wall, and we need her and many, many more of you. Maggie, we need to basically clone you or pray that the Lord sends forth laborers into the fields, because it's harvest time. I think there's been so many faithful folks have laid the groundwork, have prayed, have petitioned, have lobbied, have been, you know, doing yeoman's work for years now, for over 40 years. And we're starting maybe to see some of that good, good fruit come forth. There's a lot of hope in the pro-life movement, especially in light of the Supreme Court reaction to the state of Texas's abortion restriction law, that's pretty sweeping comparatively. We haven't really seen anything like this before that had this much protection for life be allowed to go into effect after the courts have weighed in. You also mentioned a case that's in Mississippi that we've been following as well, that people say might have the potential to challenge Roe v. Wade or Planned Parenthood v. Casey, which were terrible decisions that the court has needed to review them for a very long time.
Right.
And now might be the time. I mean, this could be a really positive wave. There's hope on the horizon, I think, for many people. Even just looking at the Texas law alone, Abby Johnson was talking about this as the monumental success of for every day that this law is in effect in Texas, 150 babies, as many as 150 babies could be saved in that state alone. And for that, I think we have to praise God, no matter what else. I mean, just thinking about the impact of that. And what if we could get something, the numbers would be different, but what if we could get something like that reality here in the state of Iowa? I think people are finally starting to begin to have that hope again, to have that rekindled and say, this could happen.
Right.
We could do this, not only in our state, we can think about our state, but also what about the nation?
Mm-hmm.
I think we're right to be very, very hopeful. I don't know. What about you?
Yeah.
I'm hopeful. What about you?
I am. And what I like about this heartbeat bill is that it really gets at what we in the pro-life movement have preached and continue to preach, is the humanity of that unborn baby in the womb. And there's nothing else that you can that has such a reaction to people than that heartbeat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether the child is planned for or unplanned for, when you hear that heartbeat, it's beyond thought that you can say, oh, that's not a baby. Mm-hmm. That's not alive.
Yeah.
That's a clump of cells. I think that's what this legislation is doing, is finally getting people around to the fact that this is a baby.
Mm-hmm.
This is a living human being with a heartbeat. Why? Why are we killing it?
Yeah. Well, and that's one of the things that, you know, that that's effective, because that's, if you look at some of the arguments on the other side, they'll try to change the language. And they'll say, even though the colloquial term was the heartbeat bill, mm-hmm. they try to get away from that to say it's cardiac activity.
Right.
It's not really a heartbeat. I'm like, that's funny. Because when I went in for a sonogram, what they said was, would you like to hear your baby's heartbeat? I'm like, sure, yes, because we all know, like, that's
exactly,
it's inescapable, the humanity of your preborn child. That's what we're talking about. And a beating heart is life,
right?
We understand that. Yes. It's not hard to
exactly
grasp. We can picture it. We can hear it. It's something that we can all understand on a mm-hmm. fundamental level. And that's why I think they're I don't know. I don't think they saw this one coming.
Mm-hmm.
But they're fighting so hard against it to say, oh, this can't be. In fact, I've heard commentators talk about, oh, we need to deputize doctors. Mm-hmm. We need to be helicoptering women out of the Texas, away from the Texas borders, because it's this kind of threat. It's like Hurricane Katrina. We need to be rescuing them from the rooftops. I'm like, really? Because you're afraid that if they hear the heartbeat of their preborn child, they're going to decide that he or she deserves to live?
Mm-hmm.
That's not a crisis. That's hope.
Mm-hmm.
And it also asserts what we also know in the pro-life movement is that we do care about the baby when they're mm-hmm. born.
Yes.
And this will be shown when all of is revealed as how much the pregnancy resource centers across the country really do
mm-hmm.
for babies after they are born and the mothers. And so I think that's the other just hope-filled part of this is that for once they'll see there is really help out there. And it's the pro-life movement that's been leading the charge on this. It hasn't been Planned Parenthood.
Oh, no.
It's been the pro-life movement that has been stepping up again and again and again to help these women in crisis pregnancy get them the service and help they need. And if they can't parent, they don't feel that they're ready to parent, then we've got adoption agencies ready and willing to counsel those women if that's the choice that they would like to make.
Mm-hmm. Which is also a side that, again, the pro-abortion side is so busy pushing their one solution to every solution, quote unquote, to anything, that they never talk about adoption. They don't offer parenting classes. You can't go to your local, you know, abortion center and get a car seat. You can't come right. to them and ask for help for any other choices. They offer one choice, and that's not a choice that you can live with.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. So I concur. I mean, I'm hopeful. I think this is going to be an eye-opener. It's a game changer. And we're going to do everything that we can here in Iowa to replicate their success
mm-hmm.
to bring it to our state as well.
Well, and one of the things that we've been mentioning over the last week is that this is a good way for people who care about life to get involved. And I think so often we'll try to move forward, but we're a little afraid. It's like, oh, I don't know if this is really going to be successful. But I think you can speak now with confidence mm-hmm. as a pro-life voter here in the state of Iowa to say, actually, this can work. This right. is working. And we have precedent for this. And this is a perfect opportunity to call your legislator. Find out who they are. Call your legislator uh-huh. and say, look at this. This is amazing. I would totally support something like this here in Iowa. Like you mentioned, there's elections that come around quite often. So this would be a wonderful thing for potential leaders to campaign on here in Iowa to say, this is something we could do here in Iowa. Watch this and move this forward in our state as well. So that's one, I think, basic recommendation that we can make is that people can be active by letting your elected officials know, hey, you're paying attention to this. This is something that you support. It would be wonderful. And you would support them if they led on this issue.
Right. And I think, too, it just goes to show that our hard work over the years is showing some results. And it's not just, I mean, this heartbeat bill just didn't pop up out of nowhere. I mean, it was years and years of pro-life organizations and individual people not only praying on their hands and knees, praying every day, but having conversations and trying to change the culture to a culture of life. Because that's where we're at. That's how we get these legislation passed, is we have to start changing the conversation mm-hmm. or really even having the conversation. And that's what we've been doing over all of these years. And now we're finally looking at how we can see a society without abortion in it.
Well, and you guys have been having that conversation for, again, over 40 years. You were having that conversation out at the state fair. So we'll talk a bit about how that's going and many other really cool events that you can get involved in to help support life in our state as well. With Maggie DeWitty from Iowans for Life when we return.
Welcome to Faith Works Live. Call 515-727-5842 and join the conversation. Now, here's your host, Rebecca Haney.
We were talking about the answer to the problem of abortion in America. How do we make abortion unthinkable? And the fine folks at Inner Visions are doing exactly that by supporting women and saving babies by equipping their moms with the help and the hope that they need. And they have two different clinics, one newly expanded clinic on the west side and one on the south side, which is a great neighborhood too. And they offer women free pregnancy testing, STD testing, ultrasounds to give them the chance, again, to hear their baby's heartbeat, to get acquainted with them face to face, basically, and really see what God is doing in your room. That's a transformative experience. And not only that, they're not just helping women choose life in that moment, but also they're walking alongside women throughout their pregnancy to help them and even beyond, because they believe women deserve that. Women deserve the truth about what's going on with their bodies and with their babies. And they will find that at Inner Visions. And one of the unique aspects of what they offer, if a woman has already made the choice to begin the abortion process and then regrets that right away, then they have they've been trained in abortion pill reversal procedures at Inner Visions, which is amazing. That is literally life saving. Mm-hmm. So well worth supporting. In fact, they let you call them 24 hours a day. Here's their number: 515-440-2273. 515-440-2273 here on Life Tuesday. And I know, Maggie, that's one of the things that you mentioned and alluded to. That's just an amazing way that doctors have discovered to be able to use different hormone treatments and take to bring that child back from the edge of death, as it were, and to continue to support a woman in pregnancy until she can deliver safely through abortion pill reversal. That's truly amazing.
It is. And that's one of the pieces of legislation that's come up the last two sessions. And I hope it comes up again and we actually get to have it passed. And that's an informed consent that says any woman that goes into an abortion facility and obtains the RU-486, that she has to be informed of the reversal pill. And it has to be in writing, it has to be verbally, it has to be on a sign, you know. And, of course, Planned Parenthood has fought us every step of the way, but I really hope, because that would be even more so if they had to verbally and in writing and on signage tell every woman that goes in that they have an opportunity to reverse this.
Planned Parenthood doesn't want to give women more choices? What? No. Never.
Shocking.
Never, never. Maggie Dwitty, it is wonderful to have you with us. I know that, and by us, I mean myself and Tim Overlin of Personhood Iowa. And Tim, I've been pretty chatty today. I want to be sure I let you get a word in edgewise.
I was going to talk about what I'm going to now refer to as the Boba Fett law in Texas, the bounty hunter law.
You heard it here first.
The bright spots I like about this is that it actually gives the guys and the grandparents some power back. You know, it allows them to say, no. And because there is yes, you can sue after the abortion, but I believe it's also where that you can sue if you have knowledge of an impending. So it gives, you know, the father, who sometimes don't even know, but if they find out and want to raise the child, it gives them some power. It gives the grandparents, you know, a little bit of more power. I think that's the way I would look at it, that that would be a big positive out of this. And, you know, and I think sometimes, you know, I've talked with some of our legislators here in Iowa about that, is reframing that argument. You know, we like to kick deadbeat dads, as we should, in the shins a lot. But what about the dads that aren't deadbeat, that want to step up and step and raise their child and not have their child killed? That would be a different perspective to look at it. So, you know, is bringing this back to, you know, goes back, you were talking about the terminology, right? The cardiac activity.
Mm-hmm.
So what if, instead of, you know, keep fighting this on their terms, on using their language, and let them get away with saying this is women's health care, that let's start reframe that and let's start talking about this, the whole family. And, you know, and protecting the children, as opposed to buying their argument.
Mm-hmm. That's an excellent point, Tim.
I'm very glad you're here today.
It's early in the month. I already used it up. Darn it.
Well, it'll renew. Those points renew at the end of the week. They will go on your account. Don't worry. You'll get credit. Maggie, you've mentioned a few different things. Well, to me, off air. But we need to let our listeners know about other ways that they can get involved. So there are an awful lot of events that are coming up. In fact, we're getting into the busy season right now. First, we haven't talked since the state fair. How did all of that go?
It went really well. We had just a terrific response. We were, again, educating on the need for the amendment. So we did our highly scientific corn kernel survey.
It works for the presidential candidates.
And overwhelmingly, every day we had, you know, it was somewhere between 300 and 400 people every day that took the poll question, basically saying, "Would you vote for this amendment to the Constitution? Yes or no?" And overwhelmingly, yes. A lot of explaining. So the big learning curve, we found that we do have our work cut out for us to help people understand why we need to have this, but overwhelmingly supportive of the amendment. So. Mm-hmm. It's one of our biggest outreaches. We're out there every year, all 11 days. We're always needing volunteers. So think about that for next year. If you come to the state fair, it's a terrific way to kind of flex your pro-life muscles and step out of your box a little bit and share some messages of hope and life.
And understand why you believe what you believe. It's really good. It's sort of like witnessing when you're talking about your Christian faith.
Right.
You understand and you're reaffirmed. That's probably why God has us do it that way. Because you are strengthened and encouraged the more that you say, yes, Jesus did transform me. Yes, he can do wonderful things for you too.
Right.
So it's a beautiful, beautiful thing
right.
as well when you're looking at why you believe in life, why you believe in protecting life.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that there are some good opportunities that are upcoming as well as we're getting into the fall.
Yeah.
Life Chain is a big one of those.
Yeah. Every year we have a Life Chain. That's something that happens nationally. It's always on the first Sunday of the month. So this year it's October 3rd, if I'm remembering, from 2 to 3:30 all along Merle Hay Road. And so it's an opportunity to, one, pray, and number two, witness. And there you can hold up signs. They have signs in various churches. St. Teresa's Catholic Church right on the corner has signs that people can pick up, and there's a couple other churches down the way that have signage as well. So it's a good opportunity to just take, you know, an hour and a half out of your day and bear witness to the sanctity of human life. And then September 22nd through October 31st is the Fall 40 Days for Life campaign. So we have that registration for Des Moines on the 40 Days for Life website. So take an opportunity to spend an hour or so in front of the Planned Parenthood praying for life. If you're part of a church, gather your church members and sign up for a whole day and make it an event in your church. And, you know, we provide information if you're concerned about, you know, where you should go or what you should do. You know, we'll help you along all of that. So really some good prayerful opportunities for October. And then in November, we have our Christmas Gala, which is our fundraising event for iWins for Life. And that's on November 20th at Ron Pearson in West Des Moines. And we'll have some talks throughout that, but we'll also have a Christmas show. So we'll have some of Des Moines' best musical talent. We'll have orchestra and choir, and it'll get you ready and prepared for the Advent
Ooh,
season.
That sounds quite fancy.
Yes.
Is it formal?
It is.
Does Tim need a black tie?
Well, not black tie, but formal.
Okay.
We want you to get out your Christmas bling and dress up, which is fun to do sometimes.
Yes.
And there'll be an auction that has lots of great Christmas gifts. So if you're getting ready to do your shopping, you might find a thing or two on our auction, and great music and dinner, and of course, raising funds for all of the work that we do at IFL.
Oh, wonderful. IowansForLife.org is also a great place, kind of a one-stop shop to get links to different events, right?
You bet. And also our March for Life.
Yes, that's
so
right.
So registration
register
is
for that.
Open, so people can jump on our website and register to come to the March for Life. And we're going to pray that that continues this year, as last year got a little sidetracked with COVID. But we're going to hope and pray for the best this year.
Oh, yeah.
Rebecca has lots of experience wrangling kids. She might be a really good
Chaperone.
Okay. I can give you references. We'll see what the kiddos say. But yes, we got a lot of kids in the Haiti clan. But yeah, mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that is wonderful about pro-life events. Now, you know, sometimes you get a little pushback, but I've never seen a situation where kids have their eyes, I think, opened or their hearts really brought toward what we're talking about. And we say, yes, we need to protect moms and babies.
Yes.
And this is why. And I've seen prayer warriors out in front of the clinics down the way. I just want to give a huge shout out to them. This is your moment. If you believe in life, this is your moment to get involved.